Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Just for a little explanation, this is a Public Service Commission work session as opposed to a meeting. And at work sessions, there won't be a final decision made today. And there also won't be any commentary from the public. This is our opportunity because we are, in my opinion, the most transparent agency in government because we have a group. We can't sit and figure these things out alone, and we wouldn't want to. We're believers in transparency, but when we need to figure out some guidance for how orders are going to be prepared or planning next steps, we get together in a work session like this, and it's our time to publicly, though, discuss where we're at with the case, get a feel for where each other are at, and get help from our staff. And so that's what we're doing here today. I'll kind of kick this off in a few moments after the other commissioners have had a chance to maybe provide opening comments if they choose. I'll kind of go through what I see as some of the options that we have before us at this time. Okay. When we get going, I'll kind of go through what I see as some of the options. Again, we will not take a vote on it. And then when I've gone through the options, having been through some tough decisions on the commission in 10 and a half years, I know it's always, or not always, but it's sometimes uncomfortable to be the first one to kind of indicate where they're leaning. So I'll indicate where I'm leaning on where we're at too, and then open it up. We have with us at the table, Jack Hsu, who is our Public Service Commission attorney, Zach Pelham, who is an attorney assisting us on this case, and Victor Shook, who's our Director of Public Utilities. And Matt is running the technology for us, but not really involved in the discussion. And then Sherry Haugenhoffert and Tim Dawson are the other two decision makers in the case. So with that, I'll just ask if either of you have any opening comments. Commissioner Haugenhoffert.
Thank you, Commissioner Christman. I think you kind of went through some guidelines and expectations. So at this time, I have no further comments.
Mr. Dawson.
This is my first participation in an event like this, and so I am going to listen and respond. No opening comments.
Okay, and did any staff have anything before we kick off? So right now, so we denied this project on, I think it was August 4th. It was early August anyway. And since then, we had a request from the developer for a reconsideration. And that's a new thing to me. I've been here 10 and a half years. And if there's ever been a request for a reconsideration of a denial in that time, I'm forgetting it, and I'm pretty sure that's not the case. And frankly, I don't know that there ever was one before either. But that's where we're at. And I think at this point, we essentially have about three options here. But I'll be curious when I'm done kind of kicking it off. Maybe one or both of you or staff can suggest some other options as well. So one option that I see is to deny the request for reconsideration with a finding of fact, conclusion of law, and an order. And if we do that, we will need to reference the legal basis for our conclusion. Another option that I see before us is to do nothing and thereby deny Summit's request. And I base that thought on North Dakota Century Code 283240 and subsection 4, where it indicates that that's the section of law that lays out this possibility for reconsideration that we haven't done, at least not frequently before. And it indicates in there that after 30 days, if no decision is rendered, it's deemed denied. I will tell you up front that I am leaning against that option of not doing anything. This agency has, in my opinion, a proud record of transparency, and I prefer that our decisions be clarified, justified, and based on the law. And so I hope that we either deny or agree to reconsideration, not just let the clock run out. The third option that I see would be to grant Summit's request for reconsideration. By the way, that the possibility of reconsideration, when I talked about that, haven't we done this before? It is in North Dakota Administrative Code 6902602. I mean, it's an option that's there, and they've used it. I do want to say, to the extent we might go down that avenue and reconsider, I think it should be noted that the applicant's original request is that reconsideration be limited to a one-day hearing for the limited purpose of presenting testimony in support of this petition. And if the PC does grant the request for reconsideration, in my opinion, it needs to not be limited in that way. It needs to be on the terms that this commission prescribes. And the basis of that is in the North Dakota Century Code 283240, subsection 4, that we prescribe the terms of this. I will tell you that the reason I say that is I would not support reconsidering and then potentially granting approval for this project without allowing ample time and opportunity for an open hearing process after the significant new route proposals are finalized and published. I think that people along the reroutes deserve opportunities to consider options, consult assistance, and possibly obtain counsel. So now I told you I would kind of tell you where I'm leaning, and then you can weigh in. To me, before we even consider ultimately approving the project, and this decision that we're discussing, and again, we'll not be making the decision today, we're just discussing, this decision is just about reconsidering. It's not about approving the project. But even before that, we need to see the new information in detail. We need to have that available to us and subject to cross-examination and a hearing. But at this point, I'll point out that the applicant has claimed that they have resolutions to many of the concerns that we addressed in our denial a few weeks ago, including the waterfowl production areas, the North Dakota Geological Survey's potentially unstable areas, and the State Historic Preservation Office's cultural resource studies, and some of the unique ag production areas that were mentioned in that order. And they're also preparing a reroute to amend some of the most developed areas. This is almost 320 miles through parts of 10 different counties. I believe that much of that area was not really controversial, and aspects of the project are unchallenged. So it does seem duplicative and wasteful to start a whole new case and force the re-entry of all that voluminous information about the level of ground cover and the water crossings and all the things that weren't controversial would all need to be duplicated in a refiling as opposed to a reconsideration. A couple of the interveners were opposed to reconsideration. One intervener who has been a frequent intervener in many of our cases over the years even said that starting the process over imposed a burden on the participants and using the existing robust record is preferable to starting from scratch. As I have studied this reconsideration request for the last week, as well as all the comments that came in from the interveners, I will tell you, I can find in the law where this option for requesting reconsideration is provided. I can't find any clear legal standard that we're to follow for reconsideration. It seems like the legislature, when the option was approved for a reconsideration option, I don't find any clear guidance. However, the closest thing to clear guidance I find is in Article 6902. It provides that reconsideration option, that's the section that provides this option. It also says then in subsection 10 that the whole article is to be construed to secure just, speedy, and inexpensive determination of the issues presented. And that is the best guidance I can find in the law. And this agency has historically not made decisions based on emotions or things like that. We've made our decisions based on the law, and this is the clearest guidance I can get. So I guess I'm curious what you guys think. I'm curious what my fellow decision makers think. I'm curious what staff thinks, but I figured it moves the ball along the quickest if someone shows at least one of their cards. And so that's which way I'm leaning, just based on my own research. What does anyone else think?
Go ahead, Tim.
Commissioners, I think there's a practical consideration here, and I think that practical consideration comes forward with the legal standard you talked about, this just, speedy, and inexpensive determination of the facts. We have this practical consideration of whether to have a refile or a reconsideration. And my mom always told me, and my mom is probably not the legal axiom we need to follow here, but it's one that goes in the back of my head all the time. And I say this to my kids, and they don't know what I'm saying, but the law and God abhor a waste. Okay, and it applies to property, but it's something I try to govern my life by a little bit. And I see that the standard itself talks about, it's really about not wasting. We have put a lot of time and effort and hearings into this petition. And when you weigh refiling versus reconsideration, you would have to throw away the record from the previous proceeding on a refile, it appears to me. And there you would have none of that. You'd have to start from scratch. If you do the reconsideration, you can have all that come in, and then you can focus that reconsideration on some particular items that have been raised. When we wrote, in the denial decision, there were particular factors listed in that decision. And after that, Summit Carbon Solutions has come forward with at least proposed answers to every single one of those. And so I think that we could focus any sort of reconsideration on those. Now, there are some additional matters like the rerouting and whatnot, but that's not really for today what this is going to look like in the long run. In the long run, it may look a lot like a refiling. We may have to have as many hearings as we would have had to have on the refile. But as a judge that looks at these things on a regular basis, I would hate to throw out that record. You know, as a judge, we do two things. We're a glorified traffic cop, and we keep the record, okay? And it's in my DNA to keep that record, especially one that's so well developed as we have so far.
I support efficiency, and our time is valuable, but the burden of proof on an application or a request for reconsideration is on the company. I will do my job. I was elected to do this job, and if it's a new hearing, I'll do it. When I look at a petition for, you're right, we don't have a lot of guidance, and as a commissioner, I expected that if we got information in, that the preponderance of evidence would be suffice to make a, should I reconsider it? Now, I understand going into a hearing, some of that stuff can be talked about. But history shows that getting some of this information is very difficult, extremely difficult. And when I went through all this information, there was many times it was incomplete. Again, I know we're only asking for reconsideration, but I want something to reconsider. They propose a new route. Propose. When I go through the September 7th letter from Lauren Spender, these changes include but not limited to the following, and I understand what that verbiage says. The proposed route, it's a proposed route. We don't know, so we're going to litigate that. The proposed corridor, I think that's a fact. The proposed route no longer crosses property line, property owned by, and he identified Doolittles, Bernards, and Dotsonrods. To me, that's a statement only. Summit has clarified the proposed route does not cross any federal, state, or federal wildlife. I know this would be litigated, but there's no evidence for me to consider. Summit has provided additional information concerning its interactions with the State Historical Society and the status of the cultural resource surveys and amended cultural resource report. There's no evidence for me to reconsider. If my recommendation is to deny this petition and they reapply, they apply, the burden is on them. Can't we limit some of that? Can't we come to some consensus between the parties and limit some of that, that it's in the application? We all agree that that is thorough and not have to repeat everything. But the burden of proof is on Summit. And it has always been on Summit.
Isn't the burden more on them when we have a case before us? I'm not really sure how they would have gotten the new information that it sounds like you're seeking.
Hard to hear back here.
Microphone.
I'm not really sure how they would have gotten the information you're seeking provided to us as evidence unless we have a hearing. And unless we reconsider, there's no hearing.
On the request for reconsideration, the petition must state the grounds, specific grounds upon which the petition is requesting. So I'd look at that as some detailed information. I don't want a proposed route. I want the route that they're considering. minor reroutes. Does that say half are new landowners? I believe
the number was provided. I believe it was 16. Or something. So not half, not.
So 16 are new landowners. But I have no evidence. I mean, if they're saying the Dotson Rod and Doolittles and all that has been resolved, why couldn't we get that evidence? It's just a statement.
I guess my question for staff is. My question for staff is, we have hearings and people are sworn in and then they present their evidence. At that point, we have the evidence, but until we have the hearing, they might pre-file something so we can have read it over and prepare our questions, but don't we actually get the evidence in a hearing?
Yes, Commissioner. The evidence would come into the record at that time and be either admitted or not admitted by the procedural administrative law judge. So, I mean, here we have a request for reconsideration, and within that request for reconsideration, we have a request for rehearing, which has been outlined by the company. It's been resisted, obviously, by two of the interveners groups, and one intervener is in support of the reconsideration. And I think, in fairness to the process for a reconsideration and rehearing request, what the company is asking for is the ability to present as evidence what it is arguing is worthy of reconsideration in the reconsideration request. So you have two standards. One is, the first step is what to do with the reconsideration petition, whether or not to grant it or not do anything and then effectively deny it, as you outlined, Commissioner. If it's granted, then effectively there would be a rehearing, presentation of evidence, in a manner as the commission, and I do agree with the commissioner, I think we would set the ground rules for any potential rehearing and consideration of reconsideration of evidence that was presented. And then a ultimate decision on whether or not to grant the petition, or rather the application as a whole. To effectively reconsider the denial of the application is what is being asked. Whether or not the commission reconsiders that denial altogether. And after reconsidering it, whether or not it deems it, anything changed to deny the application as a whole or to grant the application as a whole. So that would be the process in a nutshell. And I think that there are some nuances to any potential for reconsideration and rehearing that, certainly staff would have to work through. But ultimately, it is the decision of you, the commissioners, plus our esteemed administrative law judge, Tim Dawson here, who's a substitute decision maker, from more or less a discretionary standpoint. And the law is clear as to the ability to request and petition for reconsideration. That's established. It is up to you as decision makers to decide whether or not, in your discretion, the petition for reconsideration should be granted or not. And the reasons outlined here today and the reasons outlined, as I'm hearing from Commissioner Haugenhofer, for not, would be all valid reasons for either granting or denying. And there is not a set, you know, test. You know, you have to meet this A, B, C, D, and F. And if you don't meet any of those, then the petition is denied. That's not what the law has set up. The legislature has set up under the Administrative Agencies Practices Act whether or not a reconsideration petition should be granted or not, to give discretion to that board, which in case law, you know, the commission and other administrative agencies are given deference because it's their area of expertise. So in deciding this, that is the landscape that exists to decide the petition.
So I think what we're probably looking at is staff preparing both an order denying and an order approving. And each of us separately can work on those orders and the details of it. And, you know, so we would get to a meeting and essentially have two. I was at the commission that are on the table are kind of made for us to be further away. So sorry, I keep forgetting that. So I think what we need to do in preparation for an actual decision-making meeting would be for staff to prepare orders both denying and approving the request for reconsideration. And at that point, whoever wants to go first can make a motion. And if someone wants to do something different, they can propose their alternate motion that would go the other way. But I think we should work with staff to figure out what legal basis we would be basing a decision either way on and see what gets the most votes at that time. Does that sound reasonable?
Absolutely. Staff can prepare those.
And do you envision our motions to be related just to the reconsideration, or are we going to delve into the rehearing at all in those? We're sticking just to the reconsideration, yay or nay?
That's
a very simple motion is what we're looking at?
Yes.
Okay.
That's my opinion as well, that right now the only thing before us is whether or not to reconsider. It has nothing to do with ultimately approving or denying the project. It's just whether we would reconsider, have one or multiple hearings at which point we would be providing an opportunity for the developer to present evidence to us of solving the problems that were laid out in the previous denial, as well as allowing the interveners and the public to comment if they're still opposed to it after the evidence is laid out.
So just to be clear on that, Mr. Dawson, the reconsideration decision would necessarily include rehearing, because if the decision is to grant the reconsideration, it inherently would be granting a rehearing as requested under my understanding. But Commissioner Crispin's correct. It wouldn't be a granting or denial of, or rather a granting of the application itself. It would be a granting of the rehearing or the reconsideration request, which within the reconsideration request is a request for rehearing, which under the the statutory and the administrative code provisions, it allows for a request for a rehearing within the reconsideration request. Do you follow what I'm saying?
I follow exactly what you're saying. Okay. I was just thinking in my mind of the motion made by Summit Carbon Solutions, and it had a list of different things that would happen at the rehearing. I we're not getting into the particulars into the future of that. We're just saying yay or nay on reconsideration and rehearing, and what a rehearing looks like will be determined later.
Yes, and that would be my understanding as well, because I think that if the commission grants reconsideration and decides to have a rehearing, I think that there needs to be further discussion amongst the parties, including the interveners and Summit Carbon Solution, as to what it is that would need to be covered at a rehearing, and then also a discussion as to, you know, the time frame or the not the time frame, but the number of potential hearings as well. And those details would not be included in what I would envision as a proposed order. And obviously it's subject to, you know, the vote may be to deny as well. So.
Yeah. My thought on that is, I just want to reference something here. If in fact we did choose to reconsider, it will take some time, because one of the things, as far as like having a exact specific map, how much in a 30-day period would we expect any developer to have successfully surveyed and acquired easements on property to show us that precise map? I mean, you can say, well, we're getting out of this populated and going into a less populated area, but it takes some time to do surveys to see if there's significant cultural resources in a spot or something, a cemetery, things like that. Landslide areas, those kinds of things. And so in my mind, the reconsideration would just be about, yeah, we'll reconsider it if you bring us something, you know, and with certainly much more detail. So I don't imagine, if it's approved, any kind of a reconsideration, laying out a hearing schedule or anything. Summit actually has advertised 80% voluntary easements, but that doesn't come overnight, you know. So I expect they're going to need some time to finalize a route, or else we would hurry into a hearing and then it turns out, well, yeah, the route that we initially projected, but we ran into a landslide area, so then they have a bunch of changes. And then we holler at them because the maps were all wrong. And so
that adds to my point that maybe there's a lot of information. And that's why I lean towards not granting this. And if they really want this, to submit a new application with having them have adequate time and submit a good application. I think Mr. Bender's statement on September 7th, where he says the commission may grant Summit's petition for any reason or not, or no reason at all. I want a reason. I want good information to evaluate and to consider.
Mr. Haugenhofer, just point of clarification. It looks like you're reading from the reply brief itself, or because there's a cover letter, and then within the cover letter, then there's the reply brief. Were you really reading from the reply brief or from the letter?
The letter. Okay. Oh, before This one.
Second, yeah. So that's from the brief. So, and you referenced Mr. Bender, and just a point of clarification, so we're on the record here, but Mr. Bender is the attorney for Summit. So it's not Mr. Bender, it's right. Summit.
Right.
You know, so it is. Right.
Representing Summit, yeah.
So, Zach, would it be appropriate for, since we're drafting two orders here, one for approval, one for denial, on the order for approval, would it be appropriate to specify something to the effect of upon a filing by Summit of the things promised within the petition for reconsideration, the commission will then set a procedural schedule and determine the issues to be considered in the rehearing process?
Yeah, as I sit here right now, Victor, I think that probably makes sense. But as we work through what that looks like, you know, we can have a further discussion on it. I just don't want to, if reconsideration is going to be granted, it doesn't just apply to Summit. It applies to the interveners that are parties and interested in the matter. So I hedging a bit because I would like to know more and also to consider what it is in the responses of the interveners who indicate some contrary and maybe a lot of contrary depending on where you look at it information as what would need to be considered potentially, and then to include that aspect in any potential order as well.
Sure. And I guess I asked that question to get to the point of, should we be putting a deadline upon this, saying if someone files this information by some magic date?
I don't know how specific we want to get with it, though. I mean, because I think that's something that you and I need to talk about.
And we certainly can. I just wanted to kind of get commissioners to weigh in, at least to the extent that they're in favor of it. What, if they're in favor of a deadline, if so, what? And I just wanted to explore the topic a little bit.
I mean, the difficulty in this, Victor, is I mean, if you put in an order, I mean, in any document I ever draft, I always ask myself and ask my client is like, if we're putting a deadline in here, is it actually reasonably attainable? And I don't like to put deadlines in documents or potential orders in this, as we're talking here, and that are unreasonable, that are just not likely to be reached, because then you have to have another meeting and you have to go through and you have to amend it, and that becomes inefficient. And
agreed.
So I think if we're talking reasonable markers, deadlines, I guess you want to call them, or we can call them, I think that probably makes sense, because we want to keep things moving however we go here.
Agreed. The only thing I'd have to add to that is, and I agree with that too, and that is something we could do in the order for reconsideration. However, I wouldn't say that's necessary to do it, set those deadlines up, and there would still be an opportunity subsequent to an order to set any and establish any required deadlines as well.
I will say this, out of the dozens of citing cases that I've worked on over the years, my frustration and is usually with developers preparing all their information and racing to get it in. And then we get to the hearing and now we're talking about something else than what I spent a lot of time preparing for, because it turns out that they submitted the information and it wasn't ready. And they finally got to talk to a landowner who wasn't readily available before, and it turns out that there's something there. It's not going to work. And now they're going over here instead. And then I haven't had any time to even think about the new position. So unless it's required, I would rather they take their time if we're going to reconsider this and turn in something where a project can be developed based on, you know, the things that we consider, the cultural resources, things like that, and where they can get easements for it. So,
and I completely agree with that. I just wanted to explore the topic a little bit. If while we're in an open meeting rather than trying to figure this out as we're drafting something and can't really have the three of you at our disposal like this.
Yeah. Again, I'm going to say, I think we're all on the same page. We want the information, and what's the best way we're going to get it? I think it's with a new application where they have the time to submit all the information so we can evaluate it. So I have one question with that. Can we limit, if it's a new application, can we limit, review some of the information and say, we concur on this, so that doesn't have to come forth through the hearing. These are the issues as we plan out our meetings and say this, as we do notice in a hearing, this is what's going to be discussed. So we don't have to go through everything.
I can answer that, Commissioner. I'll answer shortly, and then I'll explain. The short answer is no. And the longer explanation is because there's a denial of the application, that application, all of the record, all of the hearing testimony, all of the evidence that was presented in that first case is not part of a new record on a new case, which would have a new case number, would have a different application, although it would be probably very similar in nature as to the current application that exists in a case that is technically still open, although just barely. It would not be something that we as a commission could dictate on the company and on the likely there would likely be interveners in that case as to what it is and what it is not. That record would have to effectively be reestablished entirely. While in my mind, I've thought of that as well and thought, well, if there were stipulations or agreements between the commission and parties to the new action after a hypothetical reapplication, a stipulation as to this testimony of this individual at this hearing, that could be done. So there could be some efficiencies and savings on that, but it would require a full agreement of all the parties. And to be a bit blunt, I don't know that that would really be realistic and achievable. Certainly, if that were to happen, that would be something that I would be working hard to try to do. But I can't sit here and tell you today, Commissioner, that evidence from a prior hearing that had been on an application that had been denied, which is a legal decision of the commission, that evidence can't come in unless there's some sort of agreement. And we can't dictate to the parties.
I understand that. What a possibility.
Right.
The only thing I guess I would add to that, and I guess I'm not going to speak to whether an agreement would be necessary or whether the commission would be able to move it in themselves, but regardless, it would be administratively messy in the first place to move an entire record into a subsequent record, and then but still having to establish in the standard that needs to be met, which would be the same standard for a new case, and obviously we have an ALJ here, and he's administered records and then made sure they're clean and easy to follow for appellate record. And we do the same as well within our agency. And I can tell you that we have done this in something similar to that in the past, and not ever in a citing case, but in a separate case where ultimately everything was removed. And as I was saying, in that case, there were no objections to it whatsoever. And when it got to the level where we're all trying to address it at the end, it was a bit untenable to deal with, just because you had overlapping records on pretty much the same issues. That made it difficult. So to a degree, it made it a little more complex at the end to actually go through and really do a full evaluation of it.
And I just want to say on that point, You're talking about interveners as participants in the case, and I get that that's technically correct, in that the interveners are the ones who are allowed then in a hearing to cross-examine witnesses and things like that. But this isn't a courtroom. This is a public service commission. And I always view us as having about 750,000 participants in our cases. And when we blended that, you know, it was a case I believe was pretty non-controversial. Well, if we were to sit and figure out, okay, certain things here, if this is, if reconsideration is denied, they turn in a new case, and we want to get past all the things that aren't controversial, and we sit in a room with three or four interveners, I don't recall, and us and the developer, and say, okay, these things are stipulated to. When was the hearing? When did the citizens get a chance to voice in on that? We would be taking away all the hearing information that we've gotten through five lengthy public hearings, and in the new case, the ability for people to comment on those things that we just chose to stipulate to. So that I don't think we can carry things over from one case to another very simply in a fairly controversial case. I'm not hearing any other questions or any other ideas anyone has or wants to discuss. Bottom line is staff will work on that order each way, and the three of us will kind of weigh in on them and figure out what one we think is most appropriate according to the law.
So I just to kind of clarify, so kind of procedurally here, staff will work with Commissioner Crisman on one of the orders, and likely with Commissioner Haubenhoffer on the other. And at some point, once we know the date of that meeting, we'll share that with Substitute Decision Maker Dawson, so that he has an opportunity to review it ahead of that meeting and potentially prepare any potential amendments.
That works for me. I do express a preference for clean motions or clean approval or denial that just say approved motion for reconsideration or rehearing, period. No getting into the weeds as to what we want when, you know, or timelines or anything, yep, like that. I prefer a clean motion.
Okay. And I think after the discussion, I think that it helped me as far as how my drafting of orders. I don't think we're going to get into any kind of deadline type of situations. We'll keep it as clean as possible. That's how I prefer. It's significantly more simple for me to write as well. So appreciate that.
And again, we'll have to get together and make a final decision, and we'll have to do that pretty quickly, because and I'm asking someone to correct me if I'm wrong here. Bottom line is, 30 days after the developer made the request, if we haven't taken an action by then, it is denied, and that's the end of it. And I think when the legislature when that rule got created one time, I think they should have left a little more time, but it is what it is. It's another one of those things. There's a lot of times when I don't like the law, but I follow it and make decisions based according to it, even if I'm not a fan of the outcome. In this case, I think 30 days is just too fast for things this complicated, but it's what we have. And I do not support, I mean, I'm very open to the denial concept. I want to read the order and think about it and have our argument and debate on that day. And maybe I'll be persuaded that that's appropriate according to the law.
Or likewise.
But I definitely do not want to just let the clock run out. I want us to make a decision and have conclusions of law on it. And so that is the only thing that I, to me, is off the table. Is just,
and I would concur with that. I do not want to see the time lapse that we will make our decision.
Anything else?
I think that's it for now. Thank you.
Okay. This work session is concluded. Thank you, everyone.